Ouça agora o bate-papo do Projeto Mayhem, do site projetomayhem.com.br.
Bom dia para quem é de bom dia, boa noite para quem é da boa noite, 93 para quem é de 93, paz profunda para quem é de paz profunda. Hoje a gente vai falar de Halloween, Samhain, bruxaria, e a gente trouxe um convidado internacional e eu tô até nervoso, eu não tenho nem roupa para hoje, que é um cara, é uma sumidade, é um dos caras mais importantes da bruxaria, e graças ao André do Conexão Pagã, a gente tem a honra de ter esse convidado aqui com a gente. Mas a entrevista é em inglês, então você precisa ativar as legendas e vir aqui do lado e colocar Translate to Portuguese. So I will have to speak English now. Thank you so much, Reverend Alexander, for having you on our show. We are so honored to meet you. Thank you so much.
The honor is mine. Thank you very much for having me. And this is the season of the witch. October yes. is among us, and we're enjoying the here, especially in North America. We're enjoying the foliage, the autumn weather, the chill is in the air. So this is a perfect opportunity to speak and to convey a lot of history and knowledge to your listeners.
Thank you so much. I will introduce you to the Brazilian audience. Now, you were born in Havana, Cuba, and lived in
Yes.
New York since a very young age. He's the son of and grandson of Freemasons. And since childhood, he was attracted to British witchcraft. At the age of 13, he was initiated at Palo Mayombe, then began his studies of the Gospel of Allan Kardec at El Templo La Luz. Am I right? It's Cristóbal de Jesus. He was initiated in the religions of the African diaspora, such as the Lucimi tradition of Santeria Cubana. In witchcraft, he is initiated in the Welsh tradition, New York Wicca, a derivative of the Gardenian tradition, where he was initiated by Lady Hea in the 90s. In 2009, he was initiated and ordained by the High Priestess and Reverend Laurie Cabot, the official witch of the city of Salem, Massachusetts. Today, he is High Priestess of the Cabot Kent Hermetic Temple and recognized elder of the pagan community. Thank you so much for being here with us.
You're very welcome. Yes, it's a body of work, and that's why I'm older.
Yeah, the first question here in the show, it would be to tell us your story, because I gave you just a glimpse of it, but it has some points here that are just great, and we have to
well,
dig deeper in that.
Quiero expresar mi amor a Brasil. Saudade do Brasil, muito parecido a minha cultura natal. Sou cubano. I was born in Havana, Cuba, and I came to the United States fleeing from a communist doctrine. In my book, the prologue of my book is dedicated to the beginnings, the exodus of, you know, my refugee into the United States. And my parents didn't want me to be born under a communist doctrine, obviously. And so it all started there. The magical practices and of Freemasonry, even though you cannot, in Freemasonry, you cannot speak about magic or that sort of ideology, because they shun, you know, they're very, very protective about their order. But for me as a little boy, experiencing it from my parents was very palpable. I could sense the energy, the forces within the Great Hall when I was a little boy and taken to the lodge, and there was a room specifically designed for children, and there was an adult that would supervise while the other adults would be in the Great Hall. So that was my first experiences with Freemasonry. I never really dealt with Freemasonry myself as an adult. I went into, you know, witchcraft and other African diasporas. So this is the story of my life, you know, having several building blocks of magical practices. And so how it happened was that I started off with the introduction of my parents and grandparents being Freemasons and going into the African diasporas. Now, Palo Mayombe would be equivalent to Kimbanda in Brazil. So the similarities of Kimbanda and Palo Mayombe of the Congo region were because of that diaspora, that the African slaves that were brought to Cuba. So that magical practices of necromancy was something that was very introduced to me as a boy. And I had to adapt and learn and assimilate what is necromancy, the practice of the dead, and how they would use it, the forces and energies, for good or for bad, because we do have the negative and the positive. We live in a polarity. The universe is of that polarity of destruction and rebirth. So I was exposed to that essence of the necromancy through Palo Mayombe, equivalent in Brazil to Kimbanda. So that was my first introduction at the age of 13. And then I went into what would in Brazil be a Kardecista, a Allan Kardec, El Evangelio de Allan Kardec. So the evangelic studies of Allan Kardec was a very primordial force for me, because it gave me the structure of practices, exercises of the mind. So like the oldest esoteric organization that we have in the world would be Rosacrucian, the Rosicrucians. They are based on the mind. Everything is in the mind, even witchcraft. My grandmother would always say, la brujería está en la mente. It's the mind is the all. This is why the consciousness, the awareness, the knowledge, the sentiments, the emotions are within our mind. That's what we take with us. Everything else is material. Everything else evolves. Matter evolves as well as our consciousness. And so this is something that, an ideology that is ancient. It's not new. And today we have modern interpretations, like the book of The Secret. The Secret is based on a very old Hermetic principle. And today we idolize it as the, you know, such a great information, but it's ancient. It goes way back to the Sumerians, to the Egyptians, to the Greeks, to the Romans. So what we know of our beginnings of civilization, because I, as an individual, believe that civilization is much older than that we don't even know. So we have remnants of what's that place in Turkey, Gelpi Tepe, I forget the name of it, but there are ruins that are older than Stonehenge, that are older than many other Neolithic structures. So This is a great opportunity now in the season of the witch, what we call Samhain, because Samhain is Gaelic, the Gales, meaning the end of summer. And so it's the rebirth, you know, soon to come. So it's the death in order for it to be reborn.
Yeah, we have here, Ulysses is a Freemason, I'm a Freemason, we are used. In Brazil, is not as opposed to magic as you experienced it. We had a lodge here that was from Madras, the publisher house, that it holds a lot of magicians and Wiccans and Umbanda, Kimbanda, Palo Mayombe, and practitioners inside the Freemason.
See.
So in Brazil, it's kind of a mixture of everything.
Yes, and even in what Freemasonry was, there was, you know, the Abrahamic faiths, even with paganism. There was so many people of different faiths and coming together to create this hermandad, you know, brotherhood,
yes,
the brethren. So this is what Freemasonry was, and it stems from the free, you know, the Templars. It stems from the Masons. It was a combination of that secret order of Masons of the ancient Europe. Those Masons that had that togetherness that built the great cathedrals throughout Europe. So that, and also of course the Crusaders. And so the Crusaders, what is the remnant, you know, Freemasonry is that remnant of the Crusaders. Yes. That we have, and the oldest I have in my book that I did my research goes way back to Scotland. So it's the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry was the oldest that we know of.
And they asked me to ask you, how was your beginning in witchcraft? Because you went to Paulo Mayombe and then Allan Kardec first. And
yes, it's interesting how my adventure, how my journey, spiritual journey happened with Kimbanda, you know, the Palo Mayombe, and then on to spiritualism, espiritismo. So that was something that it was interesting for me to learn and to evolve. But at that time, I was a young boy. I didn't know why, you know, why the chronological order. I didn't know about that. That was something that later on I understood, oh, okay, there was a purpose for it. And the not only the spiritualism was from the age of 15 to 19, and el desarrollo mediunímico, you know, the whole development of mediumship. So that was something that I needed to understand and develop, because I had that, say, gift. We all have it. It's not really a gift, but some have it more than others, obviously. But this is something that I understood at that time, that it was a development, a gift for me to have its own evolution and a purpose. It was a purpose for me to have it. And then from there on, I always was headstrong on witchcraft, because my mother's a witch, my grandmother's a witch, in their own rights. And so I knew that, you know, witchcraft was not the perverse version of Christianity, that it's evil, it's Satanism. It's nothing to do with that. It's practice of an ancient, it goes way back to the Celtic, you know, mythology. So witchcraft is an evolution and a practice that was rooted in the Celtic lore onto to the medieval era that then it was based, it was called witchcraft. But witchcraft has its evolution. You know, and Wicca, today, modern day Wicca, it's just an interpretation of that, and also creation. Because we don't have the truth. It's bits and pieces that we've been able to put together. Scholars that have been able to put together to create 8 Sabbaths. Some cultures from, I would say, Europe onto Eastern, Eastern Europe, some cultures would practice 4, and the other 4 would be on the other side of Europe. So it fluctuated. We now, scholars and historians, have been able to amalgamate all that together to bring the 8 Sabbaths that we have today. For instance, autumn equinox has given the modern term Mabin. Mabin is the young god. It is from the tales of the Mabinogion, the Tritology of the Mabinogion, which are Welsh literature. So Mabin was placed as the title for that particular Sabbath, but it was because of an author. It actually becomes a colloquial term, and then obviously now it's set in stone, but it's autumn equinox. And now we're entering Samhain, which is a important mark of Halloween for the Christians, because All Hallows Eve, Halloween, that is all an evolution on itself. Because that was something that Christianity could not dissolve, could not eradicate. You know, Halloween is what's in, and especially here in America, and of course in Europe, it's considered, not even a holiday. It's considered, yes, a time of season, but here in America, it is. And it's amazing that we have, like, in Mexico, we have Dia de los Muertos. So, we have this culture that is universal. It is spectacular to know that we're not alone, that this is something that is part of humanity.
You went through other magical traditions in Cuba. Do you think there are similarities with this practice with the European witchcraft? Like from Paulo Mayombe and witchcraft? Because Wicca does not have incorporation, spirits or any kind of that.
No. I was not raised in Cuba. I was raised here in the United States in New York City. But I was in a household of Cuban Americans. So obviously I have 2 cultures. I speak fluently Spanish and English. So that African diaspora, I was raised in a household that we did not, entertained the idea of Santería or Palo Mayombe, because my parents were more the European praxis. So I, as an individual, chose the African diasporas because it was a spiritual connection. And we all have a DNA. We have all a spiritual DNA and also a blood DNA of Africa. We all come from Africa. If you think about, the evolution of humanity, of mankind, Africa would be its root. So we do know that that was something that it was my own affinity, spiritual affinity. So the African diaspora. So not only Palo Mayombe, but also Lukumi. So Lukumi in Santeria was something that I experienced on my own. My parents were not, they did not agree, but it was something that I did as an individual.
That's great. And what is the Cabot tradition of witchcraft?
The Cabot tradition of witchcraft, it is an American witchcraft tradition that is rooted in one lady, a trailblazer. Her name is Laurie Cabot from Salem, Massachusetts. And she is responsible for dedicating herself and her life to witchcraft. And she was the one who started the whole Salem, Massachusetts, recognition, because Salem was just a sleepy town. Salem was the, you know, the witchcraft hysteria of 1692, nautical town in the United States. But now, because of her, it has grown into Witch City. You know, it's like Halloween Center. You know, Salem is the Glastonbury of the United States. Like the Glastonbury of England, Salem, Massachusetts, it's own representation of witchcraft within America. And thanks to one lady, and that her name is Laurie Cabot.
But is it a Wiccan tradition? Does that incorporation, anything like that?
She would deny any connection with Wicca, because she does not believe in the modern terminology or ideology of Wicca. She believes in the Celtic history. She believes in its root, but we have to embrace the evolution of witchcraft today as Wicca. I, as a clergy, as a representative, I am an ambassador for the Cabot tradition in Brazil. So I recognize the Wiccan faith, or the Wicca per se, as a religion, because it is federally recognized here in the United States since 1985-86.
But you yourself come from practices that have incorporation, such as Palo and Spiritism. How do you see the incorporation into witchcraft practices?
It's all magic. It's all energy. Magic is not frivolous magic. A lot of people would say, oh, but that's like Walt Disney magic. Yeah, the Walt Disney magic, it's frivolous, but magic of our ancestors, they referred to magic as energy work. The mind, the intention, the manifestation, that is something that is incorporated now today with Wicca, with paganism. So a lot of the spiritual practices that we see in modern times do have energy work, and it is magic.
In Brazil, we have a lot of witchcraft that carry on this Christian elements. How do you see that? How does it work in English? Here in Brazil, we have even Christian Wicca. But Brazil is kind of something that is unique in the world.
I would never really pursue this, or I've heard of Christian witches.
We do have that in Brazil. We do
have. I heard of that. But that's just, it's labels. It's just labels, interpretations. It's something that people feel comfortable with. People call themselves warlock, witches, seers, wizards. That's just part of the interpretation labels of how you feel comfortable with the ideology.
And we're coming to Halloween now. It's October. In Brazil, it's the opposite because we do the soften wheel. But for you, how is your practice from the Cabot tradition of celebrating Samhain?
Now, you guys on the Southern Hemisphere will be experiencing Beltane, La Bealtaine. So that's definitely equivalent because it is a very, it marks, La Bealtaine, the first fire, the purge, the cleansing before the birth. So that is something that I, and also Samhain being the death, but the connection with spirit. It's the primordial force that binds us all, that it is the spirit with us. El alma, la conciencia. That is our soul, the consciousness. Energy is in everything, and spirit is in everything. Spirit is in inanimate objects, like you have there the shelf, the table. So you have the energy per se of a molecular structure, if you want to put it in a scientific, because now science and religion is merged. So we have quantum physics, we have quantum mechanics. So we have on a subparticular level of explanation of the possibilities of manifestation. So we know that is something, that energy is all over us. We are energy. The universe is energy. But then consciousness is what is our soul. Is that has the spirit, has the history, has the emotions. All the bad and the good and the ugly. So that is something that we then, from this matter, we go on to the universe. We go into another level of consciousness, what we call the all, the el todo, the el universo en sí, the universal mind. And then we have philosophies like Taoism, from China. We have the force. That is beautiful. They before Buddhism, they had Taoism, Tao. So that is energy as well. So this is nothing new. This is something that it is passed by from our ancestors, and we as practitioners draw from our ancestors. We draw that energy, the knowledge we have from our ancestors, and we draw that energy from our ancestors.
So nice. And Vanessa is asking here, what are the deities worshipped in the Cabot tradition? Is there a specific pantheon, or does it practitioner?
Today, Laurie Cabot has had an evolution per se, like we all have, like I've had. And so she went through a pantheon of Egyptian onto the Celtic. So today, the praxis of the Cabot tradition is based on Celtic mythology.
So for our listeners, what do they be? Do you have a great god? What are this?
The it depends. It's individualistic. So you will if you are drawn to Morrigan, or you're drawn to Breed, or you're drawn to Kaliak, Ceredwen, any of the goddesses of the Celtic lore, that is something that is personal. That's something personal. That's something that you have, you have your choice. Maka, it all depends. So there's the Luh, like Lunasa, one of the Sabbats of the great god Lo, Lou, there's so many interpretations, pronunciations, so I want to be correct. But you have to, you know, that is something of your personal choice. But when it comes to the Cabot tradition, it is just basic. It is the God, the goddess, because we are born from goddess to God, and then the awe. So the awe incorporates the universe itself. It is within the mind of the awe. And that is part of the Hermetic philosophy.
That's great. I have a question from André. He said the mythology of Avalon is covered in the tradition. And how's this relationship? What is Avalon to you?
To André, André or to me?
André asked me to ask you this question specifically.
Okay, the Avalon is actually that from mythology. And Avalon is that the Summerland, to me, would be the romanticized version of the Summerland, where we say that we go on to the Summerland, which is a dimension intermediary to what, you know, to the evolution of the soul. So, you know, where you unite with your loved ones, where you are at peace, where everything is beautiful and perfect. That is the Summerland. So Avalon is that mythology, that great mythological place that it has been romanticized throughout the centuries. And we have it in King Arthur's, you know, beautiful tale. We have it in so many of our movies, especially what's the Mists of Avalon. So yes, Avalon, that to me is it's that special place.
All right, and Andrea also asked, when we work with necromancy, can we access Avalon?
If you work with necromancy, you're meaning that if you work with the dead, you could have Avalon?
Just translating.
Oh, okay.
He's asking.
Everything is possible. I believe that it's all within that the mind and the heart, meaning the emotions, because your emotions and knowledge together creates the humility of spirit.
Oh, that's great. So now I'd like you to tell us about your book that we heard, that we were talking before we start recording, that's coming to Brazil. Can you say something about tell us about your book. Then we talk about the Brazilian translation, things like that.
Okay. No, the pandemic was the catapult. I was in Sao Paulo. I was in Sampa when I was heading back home during the pandemic. I was there, and it was not very nice, but it was okay. I was with my Brazilian friends, and I decided that I would write my book, that it's time for me to write my book, and I did. And it's a chronological spiritual autobiography of my life, and it starts with the many building blocks of many magical practices, and so, or spiritual practices of traditions and of course religions. And so the book is now in the hands of Claudinei Prieto. He is the one who is introducing it to Alfabeto to get it translated, hopefully with Lady Rhea's enchanted formulary, because that has been in the works, but due to COVID, there was a stagnation. So we haven't had the chance to, maybe both books will be out soon. So that's in the works for Brazil with my book, and also my second edition, because I broke away from my English publisher, Phoenix Flames, and I am doing a second edition of my book, which will be easier format to read. There will be more illustrations. There will be corrections and a new cover. So the American version will be out maybe next year, definitely next year. Right. So my book, it's Touched by the Goddess, Memoirs of a High Priest.
Yeah.
Okay. And the book was picked up by an English publisher. I was very, you know, I was very flattered, very touched, but our relationship didn't work out, and I decided that I would go solo. And so I want to read and share with your listeners that would understand me in my Spanish.
All right.
La oración al ángel de la guardia. Invisible compañero de mi vida. Luz del ma- Oh, wait. Hold on. I'm so sorry. Oh, here. Compañero invisible de mi vida. Faro de luz del mar bravío que es la existencia. Fiel guardián de los guardianes. Cuando todos hayan marchado, siempre quedarás tú firme en tu puesto hasta el fin. Quiero despojarme de todas mis impurezas, limpiar de mi alma de apetitos y arrojar lejos de mí mis humanas y muchísimas flaquencias. Para sí, Padre mío, el alma hecha cristalina, mansa a la vez que vigorosa altitud de montaña, bondad de paloma, elevar por ti y para ti a Dios esta sentida plegaria, para que te dé cada vez mayor luz, que es progreso, y más misericordia, que es premio y es gracia. Compañero invisible de mi vida, juntos hemos recorrer todos el camino en dos planos distintos, las naves, pero marchando siempre hacia un mismo mundo, en espera de nosotros, el mismo puerto. Yo hago por ti cuando por ti puede di aquí hacerse, y tú hacer por mí cuanto desde allá puede Dios para mí lograrse. Hemos sido, somos y seremos el uno para el otro. Nací en tu cuna y estaré en la hora de mi muerte a tu abrigado y protector regazo. Y no habrá nada ni nadie, pues es por voluntad divina que puede el uno del otro separarnos. Seguí por esos circos sindrales del busca del bien para ser, de luz para ser luz, siempre bajo la voluntad de Dios, al que le pido como pan de cada día, que no te prive ni un solo instante de su santa bendición. Wow. Just a little bit about my book. Even though that's the only, it is translated in English.
All right. Well, I believe we should ask you the most important question, that how's the Cabot Kent, the community in Brazil, how can we contact you, and how are things after the pandemic? Did it affect you a lot?
No, I was in April. In April, I went back to South America. I had the Peruvian trip. So I had a palestra in Lima, Peru. And my book was there. And also Claudine had me at the Museum of Witchcraft in Sao Paulo, in Museo de Brujeria in Sao Paulo. And so I was there to give a lecture with my great friend, Susan Marie Paramore from Salisbury, England, and I was able to give the lecture and do a book signing at the museum. So I was there in April, and I will be back because I adoro Brazil.
Ah, great.
I would love to retire in Brazil.
Well, Brazil is a great country, and you have now made a lot of friends here, and also in this show, because people loved your book, and André told us a lot about you, and it's very nice to meet you. It was a delightful evening. And how can people find you?
People can find me alexandercabot.com. So there's a website that they could, my books that I have with Lady Rhea, my book as well, which I have to change from the publisher. I have to change it to Amazon. But the website is my whole life story within witchcraft and Wicca. So people could go to alexandercabot.com. Also, they could find me on various platforms of social media. So I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, unfortunately. So people could find me on the social media, but also alexandercabot.com, my own website.
Well, Alexander, it has been a great honor for us and a real pleasure to have you with us. Andrea, would like to say anything?
My English is too bad to say something now, but I want to thank you to accept be here with us and talk about the Cabot tradition, about witchcraft. And maybe someday when you come to Brazil, we can reunite. We here, we are from São Paulo, and we come again to Brazil. We can go to see you, to talk and teach about the Cabot tradition. This will be very nice. Sure. Thank you so much, my brother.
You're very welcome. I'm here always for you.
And sure, and next time you come to Brazil, Alexander will take you to the Sanombanda temples and Kimbanda temples and all spiritual things that
I love.
We'll take you to a Brazilian spiritual tour here.
Los Cariocas. When I was in Rio, they took me to Los Umbandas, las lojas de Candomblé. Fue fenomenal. That was a great opportunity for me to see. I love all that. I love to see the culture. It's all about humanity.
It is great. Ulysses, you want to say something?
Yes. Thank you, Alexander, for this interview. It was very nice. But I'm curious about the picture behind you. Can you
Yes. When I was a little boy, that was given to me. Es una lámina de Yemanjá, and it was given to me because yo fui coronado con Yemanjá cuando era joven, and Yemanjá, for Cubans, this representation is, we call it Oloco, which is the pataki in the legend or parables of Lukumi. When the earth was being born, there was the god of the center of the earth, and then there was the abyss, the oceans. And the first Yemanjá was Oloku, which is the mystery of the sea. So from her then came the Orisha, Yemanjá, or Yemanjá, which gave birth to all the other Orishas. So this would be in the interpretation. But this, I went to Museo de Afro Brasileiro, I believe in Sao Paulo, and I wanted to see the original painting, and it wasn't there. It was actually being taken. It was taken to Germany at the present time. So I only got to see a poster, una lámina, a lithograph, and I was not able to see it. I was very disappointed. But I want to come. I will be back, and hopefully the original painting will be there. But it is a Portuguese colonialist who, the story that was told to me, that he was painting Isis. And because of the demographics of Candomblé and the community itself, he made the version of the first Caucasian Yemanjá.
Yes.
And so I have it in my book. I have the whole story. in my book for many people, because this lamina, which you can, they, you can't get them anymore, but these are the original from the 60s.
Oh.
Yeah. So 60, I have a couple of them still, but in the Museo de Afro Brasileiro, they had the two versions. Yeah. The native Indian, and of course this one. It was quite interesting.
It's amazing.
All right. And Vanessa Lanaro from Conexão Pagã.
Alex, hello. I'd like to ask you a question. You read a poem about your guardian angel.
Yes.
Do you work with this kind of energies? Because I'm asking you because I work with Italian witchcraft. So we have this mix with witchcraft and
catholicism.
So, sì, è stregoneria, infatti.
Stregoneria, sì, strega.
Sì.
La temporada della strega. So, definitely, yes. I believe that these energies are very prominent in our, not only in our culture, but among us. Because angels, the interpretations of angels with wings and all that, that's romanticized, of great masters of art. But, you know, angels to me are celestial beings, seres de luz, of pure light that, and I believe that these celestial beings are among us, Elohims, and this is something that the angel mythology, and also there's a practice on angels that are very, very common today. But la oración del guía, al ángel de la guardia, that was given to me at the age of 15 when I started my whole pilgrimage of Allan Kardec. So, because in the Cuban culture, Allan Kardec is infused. So the evangelic studies of Allan Kardec is like Umbanda, similar to Umbanda, like it's infused with the African diaspora.
It's so nice. Well, I have one last question so we can wrap it up. It's, what advice would you give to someone that is starting now? We have a very young audience too, and people who are very interested in witchcraft and paganism. And what advice would you give to someone that is starting now?
I give them that to do their work diligently in, reading, but do not absorb the energies of social media. Do not believe that all that you see on a social media of witches and TikTok and all that is correct. Try to be prudent when considering what books to read. It is important for the new generation to have the correct, guidance. And unfortunately, today we have such, presence with social media that a lot of the information gets diluted and gets incorrect. So I per se that to seek their elders. In order for you to be here, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those who came before me. So give honor to your elders. Seek their knowledge. They're there for you.
Well, I just, that concludes with a golden key. So thank you so much, Alexander. It was a really delightful night. Thank you, Ulysses. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Vanessa. And thank you for all of you, all of you that are watching us. And don't forget to I just forget this in English, because we as I told you, we do not do this for work.
Fala português, as a eu entendo.
So, você está vendo o nosso show, então não esquece, segue o canal, dá like, porque o algoritmo vive sacaneando a gente. A gente publica, a gente entrevista quem a gente gosta dos assuntos que a gente gosta. E não segue algoritmo nenhum e tal, então o YouTube sempre sacaneia a gente, então segue o canal, dá o like e a gente se vê no próximo Bate-Papo Mayhem. As informações que o Alexander passou estão aqui embaixo na descrição do vídeo, então para você achar o livro dele, e aí quando o livro for publicado em português, a gente vai liberar de novo e vai fazer um marketing para ajudar ele. Alexander, you have found some new friends, you are already friends with Andre and Vanessa, and now... Whenever
you have Brazil, you have me, you guys have me here. Whenever you want, I'm here for you.
Thank you so much. E para vocês que assistiram a gente, então não esquece, até o próximo Bate-Papo Mayhem.